This is the eighth session with ION. We've done thousands since March 31st, 2009, after a private session with Chad, JW's first private session. And he was concerned about it. He had no clue of what would it mean. So he eventually wants to talk to us about it, what we thought happened, because he could only dimly perceive parts of it. Okay, here we go.
So this is session number 8, recorded on March 31st, 2009, at 5 o'clock Hawaii time. And Carol has the first question.
What we're going, the topic this evening is about the two Krishnamurtis, J. Krishnamurti and U.G. Krishnamurti. And what struck me was when I read in Robert Carr's book, God Men, Con Men, I'll just give a statement here. He said that U.G. was just a reflection of us. He mirrored our attempts to protect ourselves at all costs. So this brought up the mirror and the antimatter and the non-physical, and I'd like to go into some depth about the old gurus who were using themselves as mirrors, and now we're talking about we are our own mirrors of non-physical. So
we have our own mirror inside ourselves, whereas the cliche of gurus is they mirror yourself back to yourself. They just mirror you, is the old cliche.
So the question to ION becomes, is that an accurate statement, the one that Bob just summarized?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay, let's get right to it. Makes it very simple here. If I'm understanding the directional question, no, that's not exactly that case. That is there's a part of that that is absolutely accurate about the reference of the non-physical expressional beings that were defining man's acting from their state of guru-ness. Is that the right vernacular?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Changed, you see, because different people had different aspects of respect. Like the head of the tribe, the witch doctor, he wasn't as powerful as the chief, but he could move the chief.
Right.
Or the shaman, or whatever you want to call that, you know. But give me a question.
The idea there's a mirror inside you, that's a wise piece of knowledge. But there is the traditional cliche, as you just said, of guru-ness being a mirror. Were they being a mirror to make you realize you had a mirror in yourself? I don't think so.
Well, you're under the assumption that everybody has a mirror.
We thought that everybody had a mirror inside themselves. That's the non-physical.
Well, Bob, you have a mirror because of your expression of what happened to you a long time ago that we had to work very diligently to get you to that place.
Oh, amazing.
Not necessarily everyone has the practical experience of having a mirrored experience. They certainly all can, but that doesn't mean that they all do.
Very interesting.
Does Carolyn have a mirror?
Yes, she does.
Why? She didn't have the dream.
Doesn't matter. Carolyn uses everything from the aspect of the rationalization of a reality. Everything that is in her world has to be validated. And if it's not validated, then show me the science. That's the part that says, show me the science.
That's the matching McLuhan talks about. Show me what it looks, that two things look alike.
If that thing looking alike can give you a mirrored image view of that. However, Richard Nixon did not have a mirror or access to one.
Is it like a kind of self-consciousness?
A tie, but that becomes the part that made Dean Dixon so important in their administration.
They used Gene Dixon a lot.
Yes, they did.
And we're not talking about Reagan and Nancy Reagan. We're talking about Pat Nixon.
That is correct.
Which you did mention in one of the early sessions. You mentioned in passing Pat Nixon, which I didn't know of, as using psychics or people. Yes, you did mention that.
Gene Dixon.
So just as the Illuminati, or those that run the CIA, so to speak, tap into the non-physical and use the lightning bolt, either Pat Nixon was pretty smart and knew how to do it, or she believed that, I would call it maybe it was a Kmart or a B-grade version of using a psychic. A B-grade using of access to the non-physical through Gene Dixon, because she could not put into her experience getting the thunderbolt like the real Illuminati have. You follow what I'm saying?
You mean the 322?
Yeah, the 322 gang, which, you know, we did a reading on 322, which was interesting. Might be interesting what the topic was. And now, here's the thing. We did 2.5 hours of James Joyce on March 22nd, and his wife, Nora, who was afraid of him going to mediums, her birthday was March 22nd. And so there's the 322. Just a side note. the hypertext of language interpenetrating.
In Bob's head.
Yes, but I have not forgot what we were just talking about.
No, we're trying to ask Ion questions.
Yeah, no, but this thing about Pat Nixon, I'm just relating it to the 322 Illuminati are using, they don't need Gene Dixon. Am I right?
Yes, they do.
Oh,
they need one in the hierarchy that can give them an expressional response to give them the direction that is in their non-physical. So in that particular guest world, yes, they did.
Okay, so you're saying that Nixon, you see, most New Agers who use mediums would think Nixon was a rational liar, would have no interest in that. Now, to think that he did, or at least his wife communicated what she did with Gene Dixon, is very interesting, right, Carol?
Yes.
Based on the assumptions one has of Nixon being the industrial scientific mentality of anything. This is an example.
Ask a question.
No, so this is the question. Is Nixon an example of what the Ion was referring to as the quote Illuminati using the non-physical?
Okay, you're getting a little break. The question is fine. Ask it again a little different way, please.
Right. In my mind, when we talk about the Chinese elders and the Illuminati using the lightning bolt, and they've always known this, I thought of pretty powerful invisible people, just as people I wouldn't know. I do not think of a shoddy politician like Nixon being on that level.
And I don't think he was a shoddy politician.
All right, that's the image I have of him, and I'm just working with the image I have of him. I mean, he's a shrewd politician. You do not think, I mean, he probably went around oppressing psychics, or his department did. They didn't allow psychics to be brought in. But then, of course, that's because they knew they were the best thing going, so don't let anybody else get them. You compete better.
There are some classified documents regarding that the Freedom of Information Act would make available very soon that might take a different opinion of that.
Interesting. I mean, I'm just saying it's interesting, like Carol must be. You didn't think Nixon would be doing that.
Right. So was Nixon sitting with Gene Dixon?
Yes.
And were his staff members sitting with Gene Dixon?
Yes.
That's a national secret. I mean, that was top secret, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, we went away from
Was Gene Dixon as good a medium as the Evergreens?
Yes.
Okay.
Medium is not the issue. The asker is the issue.
Was Pat a good asker?
Yes.
Skillful. Had they used Gene Dixon, like, back in the 40s? Does this use of the psychic go way back? in their life. It's very interesting to me.
So what we're saying here is Pat Nixon was in on these sessions and she was asking the questions?
Yes. Sometimes. It was multiple.
Okay.
You want to have some fun?
Yeah.
Who the most psychically, or who used a psychic more than anybody else in the presidency?
Of the whole 220 years?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. Who was that?
Well, he was.
Mary Todd.
Who?
Mary Todd.
The Todds, I don't know which president she was.
Abraham Lincoln's wife.
Oh.
Oh.
and Abraham would take the communication seriously from Mary?
Absolutely.
Was Mary herself a medium?
Yes, she was.
Ah. So.
Trust hers. She lost a son, and it brought forth or ushered into her an incredible new place to where she had to have more. So she was a medium herself, but it was an ongoing, long-going love affair to find out that interaction. And in that process, what happened is she found out all kinds of other things.
When you say love affair, you mean with Abraham or with the wanting of her son, the desire to contact her son again?
It's the communication with her deceased son.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, so did that, was she able to help Abraham in battles?
In strategy
and all that?
Yes.
I think the Evergreens have pointed that out, that people would be shocked at how much mediums are used. They said most American corporations are built on mediums, the founders would use mediums. So Carol and I, using mediums all these years, just normal stuff, makes us ripe to be president.
If that is your wanting.
Right.
So back to this con man, God man book and the J. Krishnamurti and U.G. Krishnamurti, the question is, is the veil being thinned to the point where we can get much more direct communication from source and don't have to go through these gurus? Are they blocking reception?
You'd have to give them a tremendous amount of power for them to have that ability.
Well, in their...
But if they don't, then no.
Right. Well, people, it looked like from reading this book that people would go to the gurus and just, you know, prostrate themselves in at their feet and take everything that they said as gospel. So when that...
And if they resonated with that, then it would have been gospel.
Yeah. So what you're doing with Ion, or what you are as Ion, will people consider you a guru?
If it's their wanting, it will hopefully, if they resonate with the non-physical part that is themselves, then yes, that absolutely could be their reality. But that's not necessarily our intention, of course, ever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this focus of the writer Robert Carr, he's even at his age now, how old is he?
81.
81, he's...
83.
No, he's born in 1928, so he's 81. Okay, you can say 83, but it's January 29th, 1928.
Maybe his birth certificate was altered. So he hasn't reconciled what he learned, or if he was a medium himself in his early years and then dropped it because he thought it was all a con game.
He didn't like the way people worshipped him too much and didn't become independent with the knowledge he thought he was imparting to them to free them up.
Well, tell me this, why would someone seek non-physical experience if
that was only to allow you to come into this new place yourself. Why would you be necessary in the beginning? So how did he become psychic and be psychic if it wasn't from someone else's wanting?
So he was interpreted as being psychic by those around him.
Well, he's saying he was psychic, right?
Yep, he could channel something, even though now he wonders if it was just aberrated brain chemistry. He has a lot of doubt about it all now.
Non-physical, whatever you want to.
But he says there may not be a non-physical. He would not commit himself to that.
Well, he'd be mistaken, because how do you get there from there if there's no non-physical?
Well, you represent the non-physical meme, and so you're going to say that. We'll get you and Bob Carr in the same room, and he'll deny that this is something else coming through JW, through the vehicle.
So when he is dead or leaves his physical body, which won't be too long from now, where is it then that he goes?
He wouldn't know, but he wouldn't say that he won't survive death, but he... In the position he's in now, we can't know. Right, Carolyn? He says, you haven't finished the book, but he basically says we can't know anything, and we're just meat sacks going through the motions, and our thoughts are all the thoughts of history, and it's just tape recordings. We cannot get past thought, he seems to be saying.
Everything is thought.
And he would say, yes, but it's just is, and there's no transcendence, or if there was transcendence, we wouldn't know it, and if we experienced it like he thought Eugene and Krishnamurti did, then they wouldn't be able to impart it to us. Now, I recognize this all sounds silly from Ion's point of view, because we kind of believe there is the non-physical. So let's not get into Bob Carr and what he believes. I mean, he's got himself all in a knot there. But the issue of the mirror, it is striking to me that we create a mirror, but maybe we need to ask, how many people have created a mirror in themselves?
Everybody who has the ability to tap into the part or remember the part of themselves that knows that there is a larger capacity, a larger beingness, a larger focus point, a larger parameter that is their personal experience.
That is their personal experience.
That is their personal experience. Those are the ones who have a mirror, and that number obviously is changing, because there's more and more and more and more enlightenment taking place.
All right, so this mirror quality is an aspect of, quote, enlightenment.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
This mirror quality is an aspect of being, quote, enlightened. This internal mirror, which we did say...
Yeah, that's right, but yeah. the words suck, but yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay, see, I think we said that the mirror inside us was antimatter, right?
And non-physical.
And then I suggested can we say JW now? Because people are going to find out it's JW when they have sessions, right? So we don't have to say the vehicle anymore, do we?
Well, we've already done that, so I guess not.
On this tape.
Well, we can cut it out, but...
And on the last tape, too.
Yeah, it's not a problem that JW is known. I thought it was in the first few sessions.
Okay.
It's not. He's going to be known as that.
Okay, so start again.
Yeah, so JW and I were talking yesterday about, I said that in my understanding of tactility, which using McLuhan's definition, it is the interplay of the senses, not the senses or any of the senses themselves. So this sort of implies non-ness, non-physicality of tactility, is another term for the antimatter. Now, is antimatter part of the will that determines your realization of your wanting?
Oh, that's the most perfect question that you ask all night.
Good.
How fabulous. Okay, now we're getting down to it. Okay. You got it.
You said you had a little book in your hand.
Right there, Carol does. Oh, you mean the little, to write notes in, or the one?
Well, I would like to draw you a picture.
Okay, so what do I do with my little book?
Okay, you open to a page. Does your book have lines in it, or is it just blank?
Lines.
Okay, go back to the middle line. It doesn't have to be exact, but just about the middle of the paper.
Right.
And draw a line that is horizontal to you, meaning straight across that line that's already there about the middle.
Yeah.
Okay, now, do you know what an altimeter is?
Altimeter, you know, altitude measure?
Uh-huh, correct. And then you have the different, that has a line down the center, and it will give you the height, and it will tell you how you're floating in the horizon, meaning it'll tell you if you're left or right, and it sort of turns and pitches as you turn and pitch as you're flying. And then it'll give you what center is, meaning you're parallel with the ground.
I'm not getting this. I mean, do you want me to just draw a vertical line? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And then I want you to draw a line down the center that is at a right angle of that middle line. That makes a big cross.
Yeah, I've done a horizontal line. Now I'm just going to do a straight vertical line, which makes
that
a cross.
That is correct.
Okay.
Now, that becomes the perfect pitch. You are in line with the horizon, okay? You're on the ground, you're plumb, what you'd call plumb and level.
No.
Okay? Now, that becomes the set point. That's perfect. That's perfectly level. That's perfectly plumb, meaning it's straight up and down, and it's completely vertical. That point, that's the set point.
Where is that point? You mean where they intersect, you mean?
Yes, well, but see, it sets it plumb and square is plumb and square, even if they're not intersecting. I just wanted to make a picture to show you the different quadrants.
Okay, and there's four parts.
What we're talking about, we're asking that the antimatter, which is a perfect word, it can be developed a little bit, but that part is an antimatter that you're trying to bring into your wanting, and once it becomes in your wanting, then it becomes matter. That's the question, correct?
Maybe. You said that part. I don't know what the phrase that part refers to. That part of what?
Bob, here we go. Bob.
Yes.
Your question was, Bob's question was, is antimatter the part, the non-physical part, in an individual human being that has an asking, is that an antimatter that would then be cause or the part that antimatter that would be developed into a manifestation would then become matter? That's the question, right?
Partly, I was wondering if the part that desires,
yes,
is antimatter. The antimatter.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And it's a nothingness, like McLuhan defines tactility. It's the interplay of the senses, not the senses. So to the degree the interplay is not matter,
correct,
then the tactile term and the antimatter are interchangeable. Though I noticed J.W. was a bit reluctant at the time, but I think there was an aspect of antimatter that was not included in the concept of tactility.
That's correct, because that's subservient to the individual's understanding of tactility. You're one of the few bears that actually understand that probably more fluidly than most.
Yes.
So to rant on about how indeed your vindicatable point has been vindicated in your experience and example, that's great. But for the lion's share of someone else asking the identical question, about 2 weeks would have to be spent developing their understanding of visceral tactility.
Yes.
So taking you at your place of knowing, let's answer the question.
Yes.
You have the line drawn across that,
yep,
is level, and you have the perpendicular line, which is plumb.
Right. What is square refer to the horizontal? When you say
square and plumb.
Yeah, that's
square means it's level.
Right. I see.
It's on the level.
Yeah.
And you talk about people being on the level. Same thing.
Yeah.
That's what they're referring to.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, like in an airplane, you have that line can shift in pitch a bit based upon the individual person. Let's use Bob.
Yeah.
Bob is where he is.
Yes.
If he's not on the level, then his altimeter will skew the line, meaning the line will pitch to the left or to the right, up or down.
Right.
See, if you sort of curve into the mountainside,
yeah,
then that's going to curve. And if you're not level, then it will show the amount that it's off by.
Right.
Here's the example. In a submarine, down a quarter bubble, up a quarter bubble,
yeah,
meaning that the submarine's got to submerge, but it doesn't go down flat. It tips down the head of the submarine to go to a deeper level.
Yes.
So what you're describing is antimatter, if your understanding of that McLuhanism of that pitch is only predicated on where you are in retrospective level of level. Meaning, if you're way off pitch and you ask that question, it's very difficult to get there from here.
Yeah.
But if you're already level in coming in for a perfect landing to ask that question, then you have four quadrants on your piece of paper.
Right.
The bottom two quadrants are the physical. The physicalness that is your, either your manifested reality, which now is no longer antimatter, it is matter.
Right.
Because it's already been created. Now, that can be done in, now this is in a perfect world where you're plumbing level. Now, if you're not plumbing level, you got to get there first before this makes any sense. But let's assume, Bob, you are there.
Yeah.
Okay? You're square, plumb, and level.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, so it's balanced across the board. So, therefore, any wanting that you have that is not your present condition or position, that would be antimatter.
Mm.
Okay, now, the things that are already there, let's say they're already there in the bottom two quadrants, on one side, let's say the left bottom corner, that's things that are manifested in your life that you have a wanting regarding to change. You're sick and tired of Carolyn beating you up because of something that you do or don't do or the way you do something.
Right.
Okay, so that's manifested. That's not antimatter. That's matter.
Got it.
Now, if you have a wanting for her to stop that, not do that one more time, that's what goes in that quadrant.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's go to the other side, the other bottom right-hand corner. That's something that your wanting is to get somewhere on a trip or a journey or a something, and you're perfectly happy there, but you want more. You want to get, you're halfway on your journey, and you want to get on the other half. Not to get it done, there's not from a negative resistance other than the creation of the developing.
Yeah.
That's the different part. That's the different part. What's got to happen is that's the part that is also matter that is developing.
Right, whereas the first quadrant on the left was not developing, that's developed.
But it was, you wanted to change it, you wanted to change it because you didn't like what was being your experience.
So was that developing too?
You were wanting to change it. So you wanted to change the development.
You've developed it, it's stuck, and you want to work with it.
Stuck developments.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Okay, now you got the upper right-hand corner.
Yeah.
And that's up in the air. That's up in the horizon. Things, you talk about things being, you talk about things being up in the air.
Yeah.
Something being up in the air.
Got it. I know that phrase.
If it's up in the air, then it's not settled.
Yeah.
That can be antimatter. You see? That's the part that's developing. That's the part that's nurturing. That's the part that you're wanting to be your creation.
Yeah, it's not the daily needs in the bottom right-hand thing, which you want to get to the store and get it done, no big deal, but you want to get that. That's a developing daily need. This is more big picture or just more haven't happened yet? Haven't you?
Okay.
Not happened yet. That's not the way to say it.
Is that your wanting right there?
Yes. Okay. Okay, let's talk. You got to stay with me just a second because we have resistance regarding cake decorating.
Okay.
So we have to deal with this.
Would you like a segment of refreshment?
No. It's exactly what we're talking about. We're actually having a physical representation of that reality that we're just discussing.
Good.
Here's the deal. We are time to change tips.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, we're in the middle of session. All right? And the JW's wife is desperately trying to get this done.
Yeah.
And JW is desperately trying to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having contrast because he is trying to communicate to her what tip he wants next, and which bag, and which color icing.
Yeah.
He knows what he's trying to do, and she also knows what he's trying to do relatively, but she can't seem to communicate to him, or he can't seem to communicate to her
mm-hmm.
what it is that he's wanting, so she's standing here waiting on him to pick a tip to find in the bag, because it's 10,277, and that's not an exaggeration. That's exactly how many tips it is, and variations of those tips. And we're supposed to figure out, just basically, in an antimatter standpoint, her wanting. Her wanting is for me to figure out which tip it is, communicate that to her, and so she can get it ready, so then JW can continue icing the cake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in the upper right-hand corner.
It's up in the air. How this is going to turn out.
Correct. Now, is it life-changing to her? No. It may be life-changing to JW because she has picked up a very large butcher knife.
So
it could be life-changing for him.
Well, let Ion,
right to non-physical.
Yeah.
Okay?
Let Ion, who knows all, pick the tip and get it done.
That's exactly correct. If he did, he has. And it's loaded, it's ready to go. But we had to stop and actually communicate about this.
Uh-huh.
Now we have to figure out the color. And that's not exactly clear because this cake has taken on a marvelously different aspect that is everybody's enjoyment. The next step hasn't really been cleared as far as what we're going to do exactly next. So if that's the next logical question, then it would have to be what, but not the completion. It's just a portion of what. So about this much is all that would be required to do this next part. Okay, now, this is a process. This cake is a process. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
This cake was antimatter before the party for my dad came into play.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and this is that and his
mm-hmm.
work.
Mm-hmm.
Which he's been there 51 years, and he's never participated in it.
Mm-hmm.
In what? Time, never participated in what?
A party.
In a party with a cake.
And they monthly have a party or whatever, and he's never participated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this particular time, his wanting, which was antimatter, he wanted to not only have the party, to cater it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a huge thing for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So now this massive double-off sheet cake with tiers and stacks has to be done with a full complement of a menu that would be early break, brunch, party time, food and the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
That's his new wanting. Now, this cake was antimatter. Now, it's almost, most of it is matter.
Yeah.
Now, the cake actually became before it got baked, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But there was a process. And that process caused a wanting. There was no negativity except for the little bit of resistance and contrast that we've had to communicate the tip issue.
Mm.
But it's otherwise been a flowing, free, easy process. We saw the cake as done before it was done.
Mm.
Okay? But in their physical manifestation, it's not done until it's completed and relatively perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be relatively perfect. Because we can't have it otherwise. We just won't have it. It's got to be. Because if it's not exactly...
Okay, I got to let this run a bit. I told you about how JW's body can do things while Ion's talking to it. So JW is helping his wife make the cake, but it's Ion's dexterity with JW's hands that makes JW do it better. Okay, so I just need to move it ahead a few seconds. What happens is that Ion says JW's wife's name, which I'm under instruction never to say, never allowed to be heard. So let's just move forward slightly.
Just throw it in the trash and start again.
Yeah.
And she's done that. She has no problem. She doesn't hold on. She'll turn loose. And says, nope, it doesn't taste good. Nope, it doesn't look right. No, it doesn't flow good. Then it comes into a new place of that developing process. Now, that developing process would be in the upper right-hand quadrant, meaning that it's up in the air. We don't know what it's going to turn out like yet. We kind of do, but that's the asking, which is the antimatter, and it becomes physical, and it's becoming complete. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. Becoming complete can still be an antimatter position, but the position is only as you adjust as you go along. Meaning, you wanted a certain something for dinner, and it doesn't suit you. Well, then come to find out, you could actually change that into something else, changing the whole creation, the whole matter, from your antimatter wanting.
Yeah.
But now that's the upper right-hand corner. Now we've got the upper left-hand corner. The upper left-hand corner is the very, very esoterical place of pure tactility. Meaning, you want the cake, you want the ride, you want the completion, you have no resistance, but you're not having anything else but that. And when you come into that place, it has to become manifested up in the air, and you don't have to have any action or any resistance or anything regarding it. It just comes. Because you do nothing other then activate the antimatter part of wanting that makes that wanting a matter vindicated in your life with no attention, nothing required. It just happens. You can want to see the dolphin and the dolphin just show up and there's nothing you can do to stop it. Maybe shut your eyes and ignore it, or not see the UFO that non-physical has pointed out to you plain as day was there and told you you could look at it as it was actually happening, told you exactly where it was geographically in the sky, in the horizon of your altimeter. But if you're not plumb and square, you're going to have a hard time accepting the ability or reality of that being in your experience.
Mm.
So that's why the umber gray is not seeable from you. You could see it, but it was a push.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the things that are in the upper left-hand corner.
Now, wait a minute. Those are the things. What are the things that are up in the resistance?
What I just said, the ability of something instantly coming into your manifestation.
Oh, the allowing.
Other than wanting.
Hyper.
Well, we're talking about the wanting is wanting any matter that becomes matter. Is that the part that is that? Is that not the answer to the question that you asked about 20 minutes ago?
You're saying that the pure tactility zone is the manifestation of pure allowing.
With nothing to be done on your part. All you wanted to do was see UFOs.
Yes.
That's it. You didn't go set up a substation. You didn't go call everybody you know. You didn't call Area 51 to see if they had any pictures so that you could compare them when it showed up on your lot.
Yeah.
You didn't call anybody to set up or set up those cameras that take 10,000 shots every second that can verify any change or causal seismic activity that the UFOs could cause when they breach our solar system and atmosphere.
Yeah.
There's no action that you did. You just had that wanting, and then when that wanting just shows up for nothing other than knocking you down while you're walking to the beach because you bumped your head on its dorsal spine, that can be... That's the upper corner, and that's also antimatter that becomes matter with nothing to be done on your part at all. Those four quadrants are based upon everything being plumb, square, and level. So when you're there, Bob, you are there, okay? So you have no problem with that. And if there is an issue of not being able to see the UFO, that's the point of you leaving that part of that experience in the state of antimatter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the wanting to see it, maybe you could say that again.
Okay. We've developed it now. This is fun. Okay, let me change up here, though. Okay, now how's that?
Good. Louder.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, now, what we're talking about here is the four states, and you're asking about the last one that we just discussed. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. The things that you want. Okay. Let's say that you want to...
Here's something I want. I'd love to see the huge waves at Jaws, and I don't know if that only happens around Christmas, but we didn't get to see any. The beach called Jaws. That's where the big surf happens.
Yes.
I'd like to actually go there someday and see the big waves coming in. There's something local that I want.
Okay. Well, what if you could do that? That would be in the upper right-hand quadrant if you have to go there to see it, to experience it.
Right.
But you're talking about this one is the one where you looked out your window and those waves came in on your beach.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that doesn't happen too often.
Well, but it can if you allow it.
I'm actually thinking this was resonating with the wave. Even though the wave's going to hit the big island, I'm actually perversely wanting to see the big wave that's coming.
Mm.
That's correct, and that can be your wanting.
Yeah, but I don't want it to hit our beach.
Why?
Well, wipe us out. Might do something to the area.
Well, then how's that going to be in your experience?
Because
you're contradicting your ability for it to be. Why can't the big wave come and you not be perilous?
Okay. I was just relating me looking for big waves at Jaws may be activating, since I'm creating this wave, maybe activating the wave, the big one that's coming from Alaska. That's going to satisfy my wanting to see the big waves. But I said, no, I'd rather see that over in Jaws where... It doesn't affect the beach and affect the hotels and wash up on this thing. So I just brought in this other idea, a parallel subconscious subplot, but I don't want it to get in the way. We could drop that, naturally I don't want to get wiped out by it. But so if it's going to hit this Mana Mana Lawa place over in Big Island, then that's good. Doesn't affect too many people, supposedly. Anyways, we're getting down the wrong rabbit hole, so what? Let's go back to me wanting to see the waves at Jaws.
That's not the question, though. I mean, he's not asking for an example. He's just telling you what the upper left, how you, instant manifestation happens.
Well,
it can happen in your experience. That happens from you just...
Sounds like just thinking it.
Just thinking it in any matter and making that matter.
Right. And this
when it matters, you don't have to do a thing.
Right. And this is the issue that comes up, like in the reading with Chad, is people hear from the Abrahams how to allow it to happen. I think that's the hardest thing for people to figure out, how to gauge whether they're allowing correctly or not, or what intensity of allowing do I do.
Well, then you can tell that very easily, very painlessly. How are you doing? How's it working? Is things flow freely and easily into your experience? Yes or no? If they are, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing just fine. If it's not, then you need to change your focus of attention.
All right.
That would be then divided between the two ethereal parts of the left and right of the upper horizontal line.
Yeah, a vertical between the, above the horizontal, between the vertical.
Oh, now everything can be divided into that very process. Is that not, this is good because we've never done this before.
Mm-hmm.
This has never been ever done before.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that you now, but once you set plumb and level, then you can build and instrumentally create anything.
Mm-hmm.
I want it, and I don't. What I have, I don't like. And damn it to hell, it's going to be changed, or somebody's going to get hurt, or I've almost got it. I think everything's going good. I'm just not quite there yet. But I have a wanting. I've got steak, and now I want gravy. Now, I'm not unhappy about having steak, but I'm also wanting to enjoy gravy.
Right. Now, what I get from this is, Carol and I have arrived at a pretty good pure tactile allowing thing manifesting, whereas Chad, he's not in a situation that he feels that everything's going along great. So we're in a different level, and it's almost like there's nothing more to allow, but we just keep getting neat experiences, like having ION happen. We did not.
Exactly, and that's from your wanting, and there's not really any. Did you jump through any hoops to make this so?
No.
Did you build a substation that would draw in the frequency to you?
I did spend many hours talking to you, but it wasn't a problem. We had fun talking. I did not know it would lead to this.
You were absolutely enjoying the ride, and
yes,
you were interested in a greater velocity of travel.
Yes.
Brought forth your wanting, which was being developed because your wanting was that you no longer had what you call evergreens to have access to a non-physical representation to resonate with your non-physical representation. So that wanting brought this forth.
Yes, and when you talk to Chad about first you allow yourself, you don't really want whatever you want. Don't get involved with wanting it. Give it up. Don't bother wanting it. And then it'll come. And
it can come if you can line up with it.
Yeah, you kind of line up with it, and that's the nebulous part, but you don't think about it too much, though you do look at the black lines to energize it. But when I look back over the last couple of years, it never occurred to me that actually we get the evergreens back. And though it looks like I was preparing for it by talking to you and all that we talked about, so that, in my mind, I did not focus on having the evergreens come consciously, so therefore I was being indifferent to the part of me that was wanting it. I wasn't even registering in my brain, but I did allow the activity, which was talking to this strange guy from Georgia for many hours, having strange topics. I allowed that to happen. It turned out I was allowing the process to get to the new evergreens. Perfect words.
I think you would be remiss that this would be evergreens, but if you're in your example, yes, those are perfect words.
Yes, I say new evergreens, better than the evergreens, a whole new way of doing it. We don't have to call up Michael and make an appointment. I mean, it's way better. And the medium likes to do it and goes and does it for hours. So this is a way better situation of talking to source than the evergreens.
So you created it.
I created a better thing. Yet this is what I understand. I did not consciously want this, but some part of myself was wanting it because I allowed myself to interact with someone that was going to bring it forward.
So when someone consciously wants something, maybe it's their thought and they're thinking about it, they start blocking it just because of that. It's like me in medicine. I didn't consciously try to get into medicine until I realized, I think I should go to med school.
And you got in, even though there was resistance, ridiculous little resistance by various people. But you got through that without even thinking about it.
Right. So a lot of people, can ION comment on that?
I think this is this crystallized. This thing that we call luck seems to be a factor, even though it isn't luck. It's all lucky. It was lucky that I met, you met JW, and then I met him, and then we talked and tolerated our interaction, and it led to something. It was all luck.
It was created.
It was created, but the way luck implies the little effort. I got this out of luck, but there was effort being made, but you didn't even notice it. So you allowed the process to undevelop. So the resonance, the meaning of luck, even though I don't limit it to the concept luck, seems to get to the point where one would look at Carol and I, and they've said it many times through our lives, you people are lucky. But what we were doing was this manifestation thing.
So how do we recreate that and, and describe it to others. I mean, that's what we have to start working on. I mean, JW did a great job today with Chad, but we'll have to watch the experience of the people that hear this.
There's the Zen paradox. They all say you don't get it unless you don't want it. You know, this is, you get it if you don't want it. There's always been the paradoxical thinking.
That's just an example of dropping resistance regarding it.
Yes. And that seems to be the main meme. If you get into this kind of conversation, people say, yeah, you gotta want it, but don't work too hard at it. Don't sweat it. Don't obsess about it. It seems, though, there's more to say than just that. And that's what the ION is trying to point out.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah, there's more. In other words, the idea of just saying about the Zen thing, don't try to get it, and that'll help you get it, that's a thought that's been funk a long time. It's now a belief. We need to crack that up because that becomes a block. It's too much of a meme. It's too cliche. We're trying to break up the cliches so that we are stating the same wisdom, but they require new ways of stating it. Like in the session today, a lot of what I would say old Abraham stuff, but it did have a new wrinkle to it, a new way of adding to what the Abrahams have said.
Correct. Because they're a perfect example of the non-physical experience in helping folks come to a new place of understanding.
Yeah.
And come from Jerry Hicks's wanting.
That happened because of his wanting, yes.
He created that because it was his wanting.
He wanted a set.
Correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
So he created, does he understand himself that he has done that?
Yes, well, he would say no, but because he's still trying to figure it out, so he says.
Well, I mean, his deeper self knows it, but on the conscious personality self, he hasn't got it. And you would say that I probably understand it more than he does by what we've created lately.
Well, yes, and then give you 30 minutes and it goes down a wrong rabbit hole.
Yeah.
That's right. I tricked myself. I always think of Alan Watts used to say, when he looked at somebody, he said, there's a person who's pretending that they're not God. And that's been an interesting way to look at it.
Tell how you're doing by how many times Carolyn stomps off the bed mad.
Yeah. And then I'm doing real good. I'm really pretending I'm not God. And then Carolyn has a good sleep, wakes up, and looks at God. And I forgot that I was trying to do it. But by the evening, I'm back there pretending I'm not God.
Those are perfect words.
A perfect joke.
Well, I want to know when Ion and I can start working on the books.
Friday afternoon.
Okay.
That would be after the Friday session with Ed Seton.
Okay. Great.
Can we get stop focusing on you? Go back to some issues now?
Ion, do you have the quadrants are wonderful. That is a very good schematic to work from, put in a book, you know, people can, they can see that and work with it.
Well, I've gone down the rabbit hole. I don't really see the value of it. I understood the words that he was saying and translating, but I don't see, there's a doubleness on both sides. There's the devil, the physical and non-physical. Then there's a doubleness within the non-physical and the physical. Am I on the right track there?
Yes, but all that was forward to, so in your feeble mind, you could understand the difference between antimatter and matter. That's all it's for.
Oh, okay. No. But we're bringing in the muddied concept of tactility. We're trying to relate the difference. Now we're back to what the question was. I think we got to the question. to use my image of tactility, and I'm asking Ion to look at ESP, what I think tactility is, and see if that's approximate to what antimatter is. Because I think it might not be. If antimatter is the thought before the matter happens, then tactility could be just another word for thought, because thought is very slippery. The Thailanders have an idea. They say, I know it as if I, they say, I know it like a snake swimming in water. And McLuhan says that in their culture means sensorially. the dance of thought among words. Any matter and matter could be taken by that phrase, the dance of thought among words. Thought is the antimatter, and or the tactilist thought, because if thought organizes our senses, and senses aren't just physical, eye and ear, but the meaning to the mind of what the sense sees, so that what is the sense of something? Oh, does it make sense? The mental part is embedded in the word sense, so the interplay of matter and antimatter, or thought and matter, or metaphysical sense and matter sense, is what thought tactility is looking at, is referring to. So, if you go back to the lukewarm way JW accepted that tactility could be another term for antimatter. And now I'm saying, to the degree I'm dependent on my term tactile, then that blocks or enhances my understanding of the antimatter. I think JW or an ion is saying, yes, your image of tactility, Bob, is a good approximation, mirror, a distorting mirror of Bob's understanding of antimatter. How am I doing so far?
Marvelously, all by yourself.
I know, it's amazing. It's like you just want to go on for 10 paragraphs and ask Guy to say yes or no.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to the question. Well, we are trying to get to a yes or no.
So what's the question?
I'm sorry I brought up tactility. I don't know why Carol's laughing. It's interesting. I half know, but in total fullness, I don't know why she's laughing. This is where people are different. She's looking at the dodecahedron a bit different, so it seems funny. But I realize that I'm trying to fit the concept or the perception of the antimatter back into what I know, the tactile, which is the same problem the scientists. They want to take the non-physical. They can't accept that, so they call it antimatter. You see? It's the same human perversion of distorting. But I am so totally aware of the non-physical, and I've created this world, not just my world. I'm the leading edge of the whole thing, and I mean this megalomaniacally, though I wouldn't exploit it. If I understand about that myself, then humanity has come to a new point. Correct, Ion?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
For allowing me back into the program.
Okay. Yeah. You allow it. You are in the program.
Yeah, you allow him to go on and on and on. You have great cosmic patience.
Like I am complimented for in my context. You know that.
Bringing it back to Bob again.
No, you are.
Okay, Ion, do you have any comments? We have 3 minutes to the whole hour of this ranting.
Okay. Bob's picture is very important and will become more important in days to come.
Yeah.
Well, it's the cross. It's the Christian cross and all that that means.
Yes, go ahead, Ion.
Then what happens is it becomes a way to take a beginner, which might be better at this than a seasoned pro, in these processes that will allow them to understand the difference in how matter and antimatter can be part of their creation and what they are creating and want to create.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it becomes significant.
Guess what? This is the tetrad. Now, the tetrad created by McLuhan would have in the pure tactility zone the enhancement, the extension of a new environment. In the bottom right is the obsolescence, and in the bottom left is the retrieval, and in the top right is the flip into. Now, immediately as I say that, it doesn't seem to match, but it's interesting. McLuhan said that you take a technology, you invent a technology, it becomes an environment. You could say take a thought, it becomes, no, it can't because that's matter and antimatter. Take an environment, becomes an environment, people are using it, but they don't see the full effects of it. But the effects that are happening is it's obsolescing an old environment. That might be easy for people to understand. You know, computers are obsolescing TV watching, so to speak. But it retrieves something from way back, that was obsolesced a long time ago, but it resonates with the new environment and comes in. So he used to say that the automobile is a retrieval of the knight in shining armor. You get that, Ion?
Yes.
But when you start having this environment and everybody's using it and they're actually using it too much, or it's becoming an addiction, or they're not noticing that too much is being obsolesced, it will flip into its opposite characteristics. So the virtual economy was pushed to the extreme, and it flipped into wiping out the virtual economy, as a simple example. I'm looking at the interplay of allowance, the new environment. That is immediately here if you allow it or pick up on it. But it seems to go through resistance because people feel obsolesced by the immediate allowance of the new. So there's the natural resistance. But unbeknownst to them, they're retrieving something else that's close to what they thought. No, that's close to what could be accessed if you immediately allowed it. And then if you push it to extreme, it flips into the developing. It flips into developing. Bob's developing this point.
Bob is pushing it to extreme.
Anyways, the tetrad just struck me, Ion, as sort of interesting because McClune presented it as a cross with four quadrants.
Yeah.
Why don't we bring McClune in to comment to me or correct me or to see if he's learning that the tetrad missed the point you're making with this design? Can we bring McClune in to interact on this?
Let's do it another time.
Okay.
It's been the hour, Bob.
Okay, we only doing an hour?
Yeah, we're doing hour blocks now.
Oh, I didn't know that. So I don't agree with that. We're going to stop.
Yes, if it's your wanting.
Well, it's never Bob's wanting, but it's definitely
like,
my wanting. It's probably JW's wanting. It's probably Ion's wanting. So it's three against one.
JW said to me today that Carolyn would be more right than you are not wrong. Bob, Carolyn will be more right than you are not wrong. Look at that, Carolyn. So it sounded like you get a little bit of an edge. So
And I can't wait for Friday. That sounds exciting.
Very, very, very fun.
Thank you very much, Ion.
Very much. We are complete.
Okay. Hi, JW.
Wow. What fun was that?
So what does this cake look like, for Pete's sake?
That's what it's done. It's three layers, two sheet cakes, and a big top.
Wow.
It's a great big yellow thing that's piped, that's trimmed in white, and then it's blue, and then the white. It's all done fancy. Mm-hmm. Now I'm pulling the paper out and fixing to put the blue border on the bottom, and we're done.
Wow.